does that look like fun to you? If so, your brains are scrambled. Believe it or not, every year some ignorant kid takes a ride in a clothes dryer just like this one and ends up getting hurt. It gets pretty hot in there, and those dryer fins can break your bones when they get going. If you think it's smart to climb in a dryer, you're really all wet.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Genesis Gems, episode 19, the Thanksgiving special.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. So, really no script today, listeners. I'm just kind of winging it right now.
As if we don't do that every episode.
You're right. I'm kind of depending on Rob to really carry me here, because when I don't have my script, I don't do so well.
Oh, get out of here. No. You know, we decided we were going to do an episode where we completely just totally wing it, like Nick said and everything. And just kind of randomly, like, we got this random idea to not only talk about a game we're thankful for, but watch a little Sega cartoon that was really big in the early 90s. And you know what? Who knows? Who knows what'll come of this? It might be a short episode. We might end up rambling for about an hour. This isn't going to be a very video game heavy episode, but that's okay because, you know, it's a holiday. You know what? We're kind of, it's still Sega themed. And we decided to just kind of, you know, change things up a little bit for this episode. But first of all, before we get into anything else, man, I got to ask, because I've always been curious. What's your favorite food for Thanksgiving, man?
My favorite food?
Yeah.
Man, that's a tough question because there's so many good ones. But it's one in particular because it seems like it's only Thanksgiving when you get this food.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the rest of the world calls this dish, but I call it stuffing.
It's, yeah.
So, yeah, like stovetop, like pretty much croutons that are cooked.
You know? Yeah. Here in the South, like here in, the North Carolina and Tennessee region, we call it dressing here.
Dressing, I've heard that too.
Yeah, but up north, I always call it stuffing, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
And then, you know, stuffing kind of comes from, you know, what you do to the turkey. You're stuffing.
Right, stuffing the turkey.
with this bread stuff.
Right,
but it's one of those things you don't get to eat all year round, and, it doesn't matter if it's homemade or if it's stovetop. As long as they cook it with the turkey, it's so good. So good. I could literally just eat a plate of that.
Oh, that sounds good.
And take a nap. But, you know, I love all the food. The sweet potatoes with the marshmallows. You don't get that all year. All the things you don't really get all year round. That's the stuff I like.
That sounds amazing.
Well, how about you? That's a good question.
You know, as I was asking that question, I was like, do I even know if I could pick one? I think it's got to be cranberry sauce. I love cranberry sauce, but really it goes hand in hand with the turkey. I mean, I like to mix my turkey in with the cranberry sauce, which some people might think is kind of gross. I like it.
Now, cranberry sauce, we do something up here called cranberry relish. Is it the same thing?
Have you ever heard of that?
Okay.
Cranberry relish. What does it look like?
It's not like a real like runny sauce, but it kind of has. I don't know.
It's kind of like mashed up a little.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
A
lot of times, like if you get like a TV dinner with turkey dressing, mashed potatoes, they'll have like a little cranberry side. That's what I would call cranberry relish. But,
Well, that's crantastic.
Crantastic.
Crantacular.
That's great.
Well, so all right, man. Well, I gotta ask you, man. You know, since we're talking about, you know, food we're thankful for, why don't we talk about you know, a certain Sega Genesis game we're thankful for. So, you know, if you had to pick one game, you know, this Thanksgiving, because, you know, who knows, we might still be doing this, like, next Thanksgiving, eh?
Yeah.
So we don't want to, you know, get them all out of the way in the first episode. But what's one game you are truly thankful for, man? Genesis game, not NES.
I got you. Yeah. The only hosers talk about NES.
Right, right.
So, yeah. But if I had to pick one game, it's very easily, it's probably my favorite game on the Sega Genesis, definitely a top five favorite game of all time. It would be Streets of Rage 2.
Oh, nice.
And the reason I say that, you know, for one thing, I'm a huge beat-em-up fan. That's the best beat-em-up game, in my opinion.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I love Gold. That's, and one of the reasons I love Genesis, because they have great beat-em-ups. You know, Golden Axe is great. You know, you got the Punisher. You get those Spider-Man games with Venom.
Yeah.
I mean, Comic Zone's amazing. That ranks right up there with me. Just so many great beat-em-up games. But something about Streets of Rage 2 just really grabbed me in. I think it was, a lot of it's probably nostalgia in a way, just because it was one of the first Genesis games I ever played. I've mentioned a few times on the show, I didn't actually grow up with a Genesis. I had a Super Nintendo, and a lot of my friends had a Genesis. And I remember one friend in particular, he lived down the street from me, and that was one of the games he had. And I remember he let me, the first time I ever plugged in and got to play with him, he let me pick whoever I wanted to. And I was real big into rollerblading at the time, and to actually get to pick a guy, a little kid who was in rollerblades, was so cool. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And, you know, I hadn't played too many beat 'em ups before then. I kind of dabbled in Final Fight, a little bit of like the X-Men and the Ninja Turtles in the arcade, but this one is just so fluent, and with your attacks and how you do combos and your grabs. And mm-hmm. I love when you grab and you can jump over the guy and all that, but yeah, I mean, this game just kind of defines what I'm thankful for in a Genesis. And it's really cool because I own this game. You know, I own the cartridge. I own it. I bought it on Xbox 360 and Xbox 360 and PS3, just so I can get the trophies on PS3 and the achievements on Xbox 360.
Man, nice.
I own it on my iPhone. I actually have this game on my iPhone.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean,
is that hard to play?
It's not too bad. Sega has a lot of games on the iPhone, and they're not too bad. The buttons are kind of crammed in this corner of the screen, but the real cool thing about Streets of Rage 2, and I'm gonna get a little sentimental, Rob. I'll never forget how I found the Retro Junkies Super Show. I had just gotten into podcasting a few years ago, listening to it anyways, about video games, and I had been listening to a few other retro podcasts, and they weren't real regular, and so I decided I'm gonna go look for another retro podcast. This might have been about 2 years ago, whenever you all started your show. And I just kind of typed in retro gaming on iTunes, and I didn't even know Rob at the time, didn't know Landon, and I see a picture of Axel and Max from Streets of Rage pop up. It says the Retro Junkies. I said, I've got to listen to that. It was just funny.
Oh, very cool, man.
The picture of the guys from Streets of Rage is kind of what brought me into listening to Retro Junkies, and what's kind of started a friendship with Rob, and I really think our friendship's one of those ones that's going to last a long time. It's just funny.
Absolutely,
how...
Absolutely, man.
Me looking in iTunes and just my love for Streets of Rage has made my hobby of podcasting happen. And
absolutely.
I don't think Genesis Gems would have existed if I didn't love Streets of Rage like I do.
Wow, that's good, man. You blew my story out of the water.
It's just kind of cool how this dot's connected. So, I guess I didn't mean to get too sentimental. But
that's awesome, man. You know, and I remember when we – oh, gosh. I don't remember exactly why we chose that logo. Like, I remember we didn't design it. It was our buddy Brian, who was web designer of RetroGamingTimes.com. He designed the logo, and I said, I want something like – I asked him, I said, if he could do something, you know, with a little Streets of Rage flair, but also with Nintendo too, you know, because I don't know. I love Streets of Rage 2. I absolutely love that game, and I played the heck out of it when I was a kid. And then he came up with that logo, and then I was like, that's awesome, because it's Axel and Max holding up, like, Nintendo controllers and stuff. So I don't know. It's kind of like worlds collide there, but... I don't know. That's a really cool story, man.
Yeah, and you know, one more thing. Streets of Rage 2 has some of probably the best music on the Sega Genesis,
yeah.
In my opinion. It's such a... I'm not much into techno or dance music, but man, this music just grabs you, and it's like the song actually evolves as the level goes on, because it just starts with the song starts with a cymbal beat, mm-hmm. and then just kind of you'll hear... And I know John Wedgeworth, one of our friends at Retro Junkies, could explain this so well, but all these different sounds start coming in, the melody changes, mm-hmm. and then when you fight a boss, this awesome music kicks in. So it's everything about this game. There's not a lot of games I would give a 10 out of 10. I would give Streets of Rage 2 a 10 out of 10, like just flawless.
All right.
We haven't even covered this game yet.
No.
I would tell
gem.
You, it's a gem. Spoilers for our Streets of Rage 2 episode.
And you know, the music itself just makes you want to fist pump.
I know, right?
I want to be in the club and just go, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's awesome, man. And for me, I've mentioned it on the last couple of Genesis Gems episodes, Shining Force. That is the game I'm so thankful for. And I've been dying to talk about it, you know, real specifically. But, you know, basically, I don't know where it started, you know, where I started playing it during Thanksgiving every year, but that's just been like a tradition that just, ask Landon, because like, I've had the game ever since I was a kid, and I remember, I think I showed him the game for the first time and everything. I don't think he'd heard of it, And it's just something that it, for some reason, I think I played it once and beat it when I right around Thanksgiving time when I was a kid. And because I love the game so much, I kept doing it over and over and over again. You know, I just decided to do it, you know, just around Thanksgiving every year since I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. I remember playing the game for the first time. I was at my neighbor's house, Dave's house, and I remember, you know, that's where I got exposed to a lot of classic games. I mean, a lot of Super Nintendo games, PlayStation games, regular Nintendo, even had some Atari games. And I remember looking at the cover, and it's this huge guy, you know, with a mullet, sweet mullet, and he's, like, fighting off these skeletons. And I was like, whoa, what is this? So, you know, of course I judged the game by its cover, you know. You can't help it.
No, you can't.
Awesome. So I plug it in to the Sega, and it was a role-playing game. And it was a little bit different from, say, a Final Fantasy game or something like that, because it was the first kind of, I guess they call it a turn-based game, where you actually strategically move your squads around, your team around, and you fight one-on-one with these monsters, like in this kind of isometric map.
Yeah, like a turn-based strategy?
Yeah, like almost like a Final Fantasy Tactics kind of game. What really sold me on the game, besides the music was really good, were the characters' designs and how, you know, when you would attack an enemy, it would show this cutscene of your character, and almost like a cartoon, your character attacking another character or the enemy. And then there would be like a promotion system where your character will start off as a mage and then eventually evolve into like a wizard, almost like, you know, the Pokemon games where they, you know, have three stages of evolution or something like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was like that. And at the time, I was probably about 7 or 8, I'd never seen a game like that. And I loved that concept. That's a game that just kept me playing over and over and over again. And as a matter of fact, you know, now that's Thanksgiving week, I'm going to try to beat it before Thursday. So I've not started it yet. So I've got my work cut out for me. So Shining Force for the Sega Genesis, probably my all-time favorite Sega Genesis game. That's a game I'm certainly thankful for, my man.
Yeah, that's actually a game you can get on your iPhone. I have it on my iPhone.
Really?
And it works pretty well because you don't need like real precise, you know, controls to really play that game.
Oh, I'm gonna have to get that.
Yeah, so I've actually never beat it. I've come close, and I'm real bad about RPGs like that because I'll start it and get real far and then quit it for a year and come back to it and not know where I'm at.
What's happened to the story again?
Yeah, but that game was real, to me, it was real important because, like, you think about one of the most popular turn-based strategy games right now is, like, Fire Emblem.
Yeah,
And that game plays so much like Shining Force.
Oh, just, yeah.
Yeah, with the grid set up, and I don't know if I don't know a lot about this type of games. I don't know if Shining Force was the first one that did that, but it's definitely one of the ones that everyone remembers.
Oh, absolutely.
And Fire Emblem to a T. When you fight a guy like you're talking about, it turns into that one-on-one screen. I mean, I think without Shining Force, you're not going to have a Fire Emblem game. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. I want to say the Fire Emblem series came first. But I didn't play it. I mean, Shining Force was like the first one that style that I played. And man, I just and the second one's good too. And I'll never forget, I had the third one. And it was when I got a Sega Saturn when they were getting pretty cheap. It was in the late 90s. I didn't get one when it first came out. But I got Shining Force 3 for it. And I paid like $40 at the time. Now it goes for like $100.
Oh, wow.
It's very kind of hard to find. I get it. And stupid me, I'm thinking that, you know, it's just like a traditional cartridge based system where, you know, you don't have to have a memory card or anything like that. So I remember I pulled a marathon one Saturday, and that's something in itself that I miss, you know, where you could, you know, have a whole day and just play a video game.
Yeah.
I miss that. But so I put in like 12 hours of playing this game one day. Then I realized, wait a minute, I can't save. My Sega Saturn, like, I finally realized that my Sega Saturn needs a memory card in order to save. I was like, oh, no. So I gotten so far in the game, about 12, 13 hours. I was like, okay, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave this on all night, and then I'll pick it back up in the morning. Well, sure enough, there was like a thunderstorm that night, and the power goes out, and I lost everything. Oh. And from that moment on, I couldn't bring myself to try it again. I just couldn't.
Oh, man.
Great game, but that's one of my all-time, you know, tragedies in gaming.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you're right about Fire Emblem. Did that come out in the early 90s?
Yeah, well, I think it was a Famicom game first.
Yeah, and I don't think it really was. Maybe it's just me not remembering right, but I don't remember it being really popular until like the Game Boy Advance and stuff. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe I'm thinking different.
Yeah, at least in the U.S., I think it was really popular in Japan, but I think in the U.S., it wasn't really huge until the Game Boy Advance game. I forget which ones. There were a couple of them for the Advance, and then the latest one for the 3DS.
Yeah,
was a huge success.
Yeah, it's like everyone has that game.
Right. I have it, and I've not even played all of it, but I can already tell it's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, they all kind of have the same mechanic, and I remember in the new one, the new Fire Emblem, which makes things really interesting. If you lose your character, if your character dies in battle, that's it for your character, like for the entire game.
Exactly.
So that makes everything all the more intense.
Stressful. Yeah,
know?
It's stressful.
Right, yeah. You're like, no, I like that guy. So, yeah. But yeah, man, so let me ask you this, man. Have you ever watched the, Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon in the early 90s?
I did. I don't remember it real well. And it's really funny because my kids watch it now on Netflix, but I don't watch it when... I mean, they'll turn it on and watch it, and I'll go do something else.
It's like, I can't handle this.
Well, it's just they just pick some random episode. I'm real bad. Like, if I'm watching a TV show, I can't stand to pick up from, like, episode 5 or 6. I want to watch it from the first episode, so I just kind of tune it out. My wife will do that. She'll turn on some show that's real interesting to me, and she'll be on season 3, and I'm just like, no, can't watch it.
So, it's like, I gotta start from the beginning.
I
turn
do.
It off.
No spoilers.
Except for the, like, you know, shows like The Office, where I think that could be one where you could start it halfway through.
Well, and that's funny because I watched some of those episodes, and I'm thinking, I don't like this show. And then I started from season 1, and then that's how I started to like it.
Cause really?
I didn't really like it at first, and now it's like my favorite show of all time.
Right. That's how I was. You know, the first few episodes, I was like, eh. But then I think by the end of the first season, I was like, this is a funny show.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I think most of it was improv. I mean, I'm sure they had, like, you know, like, hey, talk about this in this scene and blah, 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 blah. But I think most of it was improv, and that makes me appreciate it even more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right, well, listeners, what we're going to be doing today is a little bit different. Josh and I, for Turtle Flakes, we do what's known as a green screen episode where, you know, we watch a Ninja Turtles cartoon or something like that. And usually we go in there blind. We haven't seen that particular episode or something. Well, Nick and I wanted to do something Sega-themed. And we were like, hey, well, why don't we watch the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon from the early 90s? And I remember Sonic the Hedgehog, I think he was voiced by Urkel. You know, I forget the actor's name, but...
Oh, gosh, I almost had it, too. It's like...
It's on the tip of my tongue, but I think this show was only around for 2 or 3 seasons, but I specifically remember this as a kid. And I remember my sister and I, we had the Generation 2 Sega Genesis, you know, the kind of the thin one, but not the really small one, the Generation 3. And we had Sonic 2 was the pack-in for that system. And we really got into the video game, and she and I would play that all the time. And because of that, that was right around 1991, 1992, we started watching the cartoon, and I believe it was it aired on Saturdays. So we kind of really got into it. But I don't think I've ever watched the first episode before, so we're going to watch that today. As a matter of fact, if you guys want to follow along with us, Nick and I, we're going to go ahead. This is on YouTube. Just search up like Sonic the Hedgehog Episode 1. You'll find it right away. We're going to click play, and I'm going to do a countdown. So Nick,
yes.
We're going to click play like when I say 1. Or no, when I say click.
Is it on go or 1? Or is it 0? I'm confused.
It'll be on click. Okay, so I'm going to start at 5.
I'm stressed.
All right, listeners, so we're going to click play in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and click. All right.
All right, I got audio.
Yes, me too. Now I want to know where these loops come from.
Yeah, no. It kind of looks like a water slide, maybe?
Right. That's all it is. You know, the whole Sonic universe is just a water slide.
Yeah.
Close down, you know, water park.
It's funny because I always tell my kids, if I were a robot, my name would be Robotnik.
That's awesome. Yeah, I always wanted to know, you know, Dr. Robotnik. Okay, so he went to a, you know, a school to become a doctor. I mean, for 6 years.
Yeah.
What was it in? I mean, like, in what school?
In evil.
I didn't spend 8 years in evil medical school to be called Mr. Thank You. Oh my gosh, this does take me back, though.
I know. It's nice they kind of had the intro music a little spin-off from the game. At least they kind of kept some of that in there.
Oh, yeah. What was the title of the episode again?
I don't even know.
Oh. Kind of reminds me of Roadrunner right here.
Yeah. I kind of miss these old cartoons with hand-drawn.
Yeah,
you know?
Me too. Man, Sonic looks a little pudgy.
I was going to say the same thing. It's like it's... I don't know. Maybe he just needs to beef up a little bit.
I know. I like the saw effect, though. That's pretty nice. Yeah.
You're right, though. This is a lot like the Roadrunner thing.
Yeah.
Oh, they always make Tails sound so wimpy. Even in the new games.
I know. Boy, I thought. Oh, look at that tree.
Yeah.
So unrealistic. Ready. Tell me what I'm now that the chubby robot, the evil robot, or he's not evil, but like, you know, one of a Robotnik's henchmen. The little blue guy?
Yeah.
Who does that sound like?
Oh, gosh. I can't place it.
He's got the fat voice, talks like this all the time.
I'm drawing a huge blank, too.
Oh, I don't know if your kids ever watched SpongeBob, but Patrick.
Oh, Patrick, yes.
Sounds just like Patrick.
Yeah.
Hey, SpongeBob. SpongeBob.
Where is everybody? All right, so... Is this Sonic's home? Or his hometown?
I guess. Well, they got zippers for windows. That's fun. Hiding?
What from? Alright, so all the people in the village are hiding.
Yeah.
And there's a, you know, animal from WWF right there. Which
way is the, yeah, it kind of looks like convention? One of Mutant League football guys.
Right. It's the Road Warriors. People aren't very friendly in this
town. Guess I'll just have to find. And he's talking like a CEO of some corporation. What's a
bounty hunter's convention? Yeah, this voice didn't match the character. And
I'm gonna crash. I do like Sonic's voice. It's kind of like a cool teenager, you know?
Yeah. I've called you all together because you're the worst assassin. There's Dr. Robotnik.
Oh, yeah.
And I like how he's talking to all these robots and not one of them's in the video game.
Yeah. He reminds me more of like Dr. Wily right here, like the leader of these robots.
Yeah, I know that they all look like, yeah, the Mega Man robots. Like generic versions.
Yeah.
Look at the green one. She's like, yeah!
Man, Robotnik's got some junk in that trunk.
I know! Kind of looks like a mean version of Santa Claus.
Yeah, I can see that. I hate
that hedgehog! Now, what's his beef against Sonic? Like, I never understood the whole backstory there.
I don't either. I don't know, maybe it's just where he's taking all the animals, and maybe he just can't catch Sonic to take him, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. Nice people. He's the one that got away.
Yep.
Sonic, boo! No more.
I will say, I like I do like the art style here of the characters.
Yeah.
I wasn't too impressed with the backgrounds, but
yeah,
it's good, pretty good animation.
I agree. I wonder when this one aired. I want to say this is like 90. I'm gonna guess it was 91, maybe 92.
It definitely had to be after Sonic 2, since Tails is in it. So.
Oh yeah, and I think that came out in 91 or.
I think so.
Yeah.
So you're probably spot on.
It's probably early 92. Yeah.
Look at that wrestler robot. He's like a.
Yeah. Look how he's like kind of like frozen there.
I know. He's like. He's got a blockhead.
Yeah. So they're all beating up Sonic.
I do like how he jumped on him like he would in the game.
And then he kind of tapped his foot too.
Yeah. Little attitude.
Yeah.
Probably like Sonic.
Yep, he's a teenager with attitude. Kind of like Power Rangers. Yeah. Alright, what's up with that robot? Did you see what I saw?
Blue and red nipples?
Yeah! Yep.
That one's got tri-nipples.
Right, the three of them.
Yep. Total Recall, anybody? Sorry. Oh, we shouldn't have said that.
That was awesome. Alright, so, you know, when you played Sonic Sonic 2, I mean, with two players, who did you have to be? Did you have to be Tails, or did you have to be Sonic?
Oh, I had a... See, like, again, I didn't have a Genesis. My cousin had this, and he always made me play as Tails. Oh, threw me nuts. I would let him go to sleep, and then so I could play by myself.
Right. I can't believe that's Urkel.
That's crazy.
He should have voice acted in a lot of other things.
I know.
Because that doesn't even sound like him.
Yeah, but he was always cool, because, like, those episodes of Family Matters where he would, like, not be a dork, and he was like...
Yeah, he's cool.
I know, it was awesome.
Hi, Laura. Now, who are these robots? You remember these two from the game?
I like that tune, though.
Yeah, it's, like, very 80s sounding.
Yeah. Yeah, the backgrounds and the just... Everything other than the characters is just kind of bland.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of, you know, like this scene right here looks like it's something out of, like, the Hanna-Barbera cartoons from the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, it looks kind of old.
Yeah, because when you play Sonic, the backgrounds are so vivid and just
busy. Vibrant, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, here they're kind of generic looking.
Yeah. But I do like the detail on the, and at least Sonic and Robotnik's part.
Yeah.
The animations are smooth. Especially for our early 90s cartoon.
Right.
Sometimes animations look jagged, you know, where they did all the storyboard flips and all that crap.
Mm-hmm. Now, who is that guy? Is he
serious? It's the Road Warrior Animal guy we were talking about.
Oh, yo! Gosh, he looked a lot bigger in that scene.
I thought so, too.
See, there's a club at Sonic, who's got an apple on his head.
He kind of looks like a mixture of, like, Rocksteady and Animal from...
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, yeah, took it out of his underwear on. That was,
that was Rocksteady for sure. Yeah. Hey, boss! We sure did,
kid. Sonic eating an apple, that's all good.
Mm-hmm.
He's smart enough to stay away from mushrooms, so, you know.
Right.
One of us, Sonic.
I don't know who would do that.
Yeah. Two dudes.
Yeah, two hose heads.
Yeah.
I always like Dr. Robotnik's lair, where he's got the you know, metal plaque of him on in the front.
Yeah. What's with this, like, this evil looking leotard he's wearing?
I don't know.
I've already made one comment on it. I don't know.
He's gonna make an omelet.
His eggs are already cracked.
Mm-hmm. Sounds excellent.
Excellent. Dr. Eggman, right?
Sounds extraordinary. I have to admit, tonight I'm exhausted. Sorry.
Keep it up. Ooh, he took eggs and made a rooster.
Oh gosh, I remember the rooster guy as a boss in Sonic 2. It was like a giant-sized one.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, he was hard to beat too.
This reminded me, it's bringing back some, like, retro cartoons. I used to watch this cartoon called Rockadoodle. It was an old movie.
Rockadoodle? Was that the one with where it was like half animated and then half people? Like real people?
I can't remember. I just remember the I want a Rockadoodle do with you.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah, as a matter of fact, that brings back a memory, yeah. I remember my sister and I were in the backyard, like, we were playing something, and my dad goes, you know, dad, a lot of times he'd show up, you know, after work on Saturdays, and he'd either come home with, like, a movie, or he'd either come home with, like, a hoagie, or hot wings, or pizza, or he'd come home with a movie or something from Blockbuster. And I remember he came home with Rockadoodle, and we were so excited and everything. We watched that that night. So that was good times.
Absolutely. I love that you call them hoagies. That's awesome.
Yeah, hoagies, you know?
Oh, I love it. I love
it's not a sub, you know? It's not a sandwich either. It's a hoagie.
It's a hero.
Yeah, right. Some people call them, like, gyros, too. Let's call them hoagies.
Well, gyros are, like, a certain type of sub?
I don't know.
I thought they were up here.
I don't know.
Like lamb meat or something? I don't know.
Really?
I thought so, but I might be wrong.
Well, I mean, you call hot dogs, you know, chili dogs, you know, dogs with sauce.
Dogs with sauce, yeah. And all soda up here is just pop.
Pop, right. And all soda down here is Coke.
Yeah, there.
Yeah. Like, I'll take a couple Cokes for that, but really, Cokes could be anything.
Yeah, there. A Pepsi Coke.
Right.
So this chicken he has made.
Yep.
This rooster. Like, what's so special about him?
I don't know. What's so special about the little Rolly robot?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel like he can't do much with his arms. He kind of looks like Crash Man from Mega Man 2 with those arms.
Yeah, he does. I really think that's the same voice actor that did Patrick.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds just like him. Man, I don't know. I mean, is it just me or is Dr. Robotnik a little, I don't know, shouty?
Yeah. It's not like oozing with genius right now.
Right, I mean, you know, if you just, you know, sit down and kind of take a deep breath and enjoy the world, you know, he might not be so grumpy.
What's this monkey doing hiding in this closet?
I don't know, but is that a light bulb on his head?
I don't know, but that's got to be where Family Guy got the inspiration for that monkey that comes out of the closet all the time.
Yeah, because you remember him from the video games?
I'm scared of the monkey in the closet.
It's like, what monkey? That's my kind of
pit stop. Is that a hot dog?
Oh, here we go. Oh, what'd he say?
I don't know.
Two chili dogs.
Did a hot dog with sauce.
He didn't. I heard it.
I love how this podcast always gets back to hot dogs.
Yeah. Now, what is that? Is that a red monkey?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Oh, he's pointing at it. Oh. Chili dog, you're right. Must have been made in the South. I'm telling you, you come out to West Virginia, I'll introduce you to some good hot dogs with sauce.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds real good. What the heck is that? Is that a giant hot dog? I don't even know what's going on in this episode.
I don't.
At first, I was like, okay, Dr. Robotnik's the villain, and he designed all these robots. I get that part. He hates Sonic, I get that part, but what's the deal with the monkey? Is the monkey working for Dr. Robotnik, or does he have his own agenda? His own monkey agenda.
Monkey business.
Oh, now he's wearing a cowboy hat.
In the name of Dr. Robotnik, I declare open season on Hedgehog.
Okay, so I guess he is. Oh, he just kissed the poster of Dr. Robotnik.
Open season on Hedgehog.
Ah.
Hedgehog season.
Yeah, right.
At least they're incorporating them running fast. That's good.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if they just created this cartoon to sell more of the video games.
I'm sure. I mean, now, you think about like the Mario cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. You know that I was just about to bring that up. Like, okay, the Mario cartoon that came out, and there were actually two of them. There was the animated cartoon, and there was the live action one. with Lou Albano dancing awkwardly.
Yep.
Do the Mario. It's just kind of like awkwardly, like shuffling back and forth.
My kids will watch that too.
It's nice.
Pretty bad.
But you know. Out of those, like, well, what was the most successful? Was it Sonic, or was it the live-action Mario? Was it the animated Mario?
I don't know. As far as success goes, I'm not sure, but I definitely like the Sonic better.
Yeah.
I do remember this a little bit. It definitely caught my eye more than the Mario one did.
I do remember the Mario animated one, and I remember liking that a lot. Oh, there you go. There you go, man.
Hot dogs. Oh, the missing link. That's funny, Sonic. Can we find some more chili dogs?
You
got it, Ace.
You heard Tails.
My heart's a little broken.
I know. That's the main reason I wanted to, you know, show this episode.
Absolutely.
So you hear the correct term.
Hey, look, some Mario bricks.
It is. Oh.
And see, that's why Sonic's superior. He's probably just going to bust through it.
That's right. 20 minutes to finish painting this fake landscape. Then what? You get the hedgehog to chase you. You go by, I drop it down, and the hedgehog knocks himself out. Then we tie him up. And the hedgehog knocks himself out. Dr. Robotnik will be so proud of me. He'll be prouder of me. I think that's you and me, really. I'm the fat robot.
Oh.
You know, the little guy. And then you're the tall one.
Pick off.
Yeah, you're the rooster.
You see, his scissors came out of his hands. Another Mega Man inspired.
I know.
It's a cut man.
Do you remember the Mega Man that shot pumpkins out of his arm?
No.
That would be awesome, though. They should have a Mega Man named Pumpkin Man.
Pumpkin Man. I dig the music. I really like it.
Yeah, I do too. Kind of jazzy.
Yeah.
I still don't know what's going on, though. It's just the little henchman trying to get Sonic?
I guess.
And why isn't the monkey working with the robots? Like this, just let me know.
Maybe he's like a... kind of plays both sides of the fence, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's kind of mercenary.
Yep. Nah, I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
There you go. No
more follow. Look how short he is.
For such a genius, he makes some stupid robots, you know?
I know!
That's awkward.
Oh, man.
I said the hairstyle kind of reminds me of what's her face from Rescue Rangers, Chippendale.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Must have been like a 90s hairstyle or something.
Oh, I can't remember, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Gosh, there were a lot of good cartoons in the 90s.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. So many I can think of. Turtles, I mean, that was 80s and 90s, but...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, there were so many.
Tailspin, Rescue Rangers.
Tailspin, yeah. Rescue Rangers.
DuckTales, I mean.
Yeah. See ya. What the...
Very easy. Yeah. Wait right here. Don't move. How does Robotnik create tongues out of these robots?
And why would he?
Yeah. Maybe just to enjoy those hot dogs, the hot dogs, man.
I guess so, yeah. Gentlemen, what you need is more iron. And where did Sonic get his doctor's uniform?
He's so fast, I think that's the only explanation. He ran real quick to get it somewhere.
Yeah. Stolen from some guy.
Yeah. But it looks like they're in like the middle of a desert.
I know. It's kind of a bizarre kind of background.
Here they come. That looks like something out of a Pink Floyd video.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy looking with his eye popping out like that.
Trippy. Made us so persistent. He made me persistent. He made you too dumb. So they argue over who's the better robot. I'm just like, you're both dumb.
Yeah.
That's a conveniently placed tree.
We're going to put one tree right here. We got your buddy, Hedgehog. Don't pull him. It'd be funny if Sonic's just like, you can take him.
Yeah. He's whiny. I don't need him. Okay. I always said Sonic's downfall was that he had too many friends.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
When Knuckles, you know, kind of came in the picture, you know, it's just like, it's not even cool to have pick Sonic anymore. Everyone wanted to pick Knuckles.
Yeah. Right there, so you can come. Is Robotnik missing a tooth?
I don't know. He's got a big nose. That's quite the honker. Forget the reward. Sonic is my prisoner. Oh, I get it. So they're all fighting over who can get Sonic first.
Yeah.
You know, I guess they get this huge reward from Robotnik. And the monkey guy with the light bulb on his head. He tied up the other two robots, and now he's going to get Sonic.
That
rope can
break any sick. That makes sense. The cage. The key's on Grounder's belt. Yeah. Good thinking. Silly robots.
Yeah, you know, what I find so interesting is that, you know, a lot of these cartoons, they were specifically made to promote their product, whether it be, you know, the video game in this case, or like, say, the Ninja Turtles. The original Ninja Turtles cartoon was created to promote the toy line.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and look what happened. I mean, it just happened to turn into something huge anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the Turtles when I was a kid, like, twice. Yeah. And then I went out and bought every toy I possibly could find.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, like, every episode, you know, like, was a new villain of the week. And, you know, that happened to be a toy that was on the Playmates toy line. You know, and I'm sure it was the same thing with this. I actually remember Sonic Toys, and I bet you this show was created not only to promote the video game, but, you know, for the action figures and the shirts and everything, because I remember all that stuff in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Scratch! Rounder. Scratch and Rounder, that's their names. Long time I couldn't remember their names. Oh gosh, the monkey's dead!
Oh! See little X's in her eyes?
Yeah!
And that's how all of us met.
I hate that story! Yeah. You got away!
Why can't stories have happy endings?
Rounder's crying.
Hey, this one ends real happy. Slow-mo.
Yeah, and why doesn't Robotnik just create a really, really fast robot?
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh, Sonic says, I remember this.
Yep.
We're surrounded, Sonic. Call 911.
No way, Tails. This is nothing. 911
I love
is
it.
Really
I love the
call
PSAs.
911
for assistance. Someone who
it's
really
like the G.I. Joe PSAs. That
right.
Oh, I love it. Or someone's trying to break into your home. We need to start doing some Genesis Gems PSAs.
We should. We should.
Yeah. One person's dumb
joke could be another person's disaster. Yep, that's true. One person's dumb joke could be another person's disaster.
That's right. Kent Butterworth. <That's the name.
laughs> Oh,
I guess
man.
They. I'd, it's better than I thought. I know this cartoon got a lot of slack, you know, from people saying it's awful. You're just a cash cow, but it wasn't too bad.
It wasn't terrible. You know, it wasn't awful. I thought the voice acting was actually pretty good, you know? I have no idea particularly what the plot was about. Oh, it looks like it said 93 on this. I thought it was earlier than that.
Nice. And that's what was so cool about these 90s mascots, whether it was video games or toys. They had lasting appeal. Things that come out today, I mean, you look at what's popular down the toy aisle. It's stuff that came out when we were kids, like Turtles.
It really is.
Mario and Star Wars and Power Rangers and WWF or WWE wrestlers. You don't see any, like, you don't see the kids' video games now, like Sackboy from PS3. They don't have a whole toy line or.
Right.
You know, I mean, I guess Skylanders and things like that do, but it's just amazing how there's so much stuff in the market today that nothing has a lasting appeal like they used to.
Yeah, you're right. I'm telling you, it seems like, and it's not just nostalgia here for us, you know, or a bias for us. It really seems like there aren't that many standout, you know, cartoons nowadays. There just isn't.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, I'm not criticizing current cartoons. It just seems like, you know, like you hit the nail on the head. You go to Walmart, what are the most popular figures? Or, you know, what's completely sold out? Not a day goes by when I go to Walmart and, you know, the Ninja Turtle section is picked through full, you know, true and true. That's a series that came out in the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And the same thing with, like, you know, Transformers toys and everything like that, you know. A lot of the reboots are the more successful toy lines. You know, there was something special about the late 80s and early 90s cartoons, you know. And that's the reason why they're bringing a lot of them back.
Yeah, and it has to just be this day and age, because even think about Sonic and Mario today. I mean, how many of those games that come out, they're awesome games, but how memorable are they? You know, when you think about Mario, you always go back, Mario 3 or Super Mario. You don't really think of New Super Mario Brothers Part 2. I mean, it's
right.
And especially with Sonic, I mean, who knows what games could be good hidden in all that mess that Sonic came out here.
Oh, right.
When you think about Sonic, I'm just like Sonic 1, 2, and 3, and I'm done. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old or it's my nostalgia, but I just don't feel like those have that lasting appeal like they do, even the same characters. I mean, and like when the Turtles rebooted back in, was it 2003?
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't really remember hearing a lot of talk about that. I mean, you guys talk about it in your podcast.
Right, right.
It's just like, what happened? It was quality, but there's just so much out there for kids to do. There's no lasting appeal anymore.
Right. I also think that, like, a lot of times, you know, things aren't promoted like they should be, you know? Like,
yeah.
I remember when the 2003 cartoon came out, but it's like they didn't make it that big of a deal. I don't remember seeing so many commercials about it or anything like that. It was kind of one of those things where it was a reboot, but no one really knew about it. No one really noticed. And I don't know if that was a marketing error or something like that, or if people were just, you know, because at that time, 2003, we would have been what, early 20s, late teens, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it was just the audience was over the Ninja Turtle franchise at that point. You know, and I don't know. That's a good point. But it just seemed like, I don't know, especially in this case, you know, it seems like the Sonic series especially just kind of drifted off into, like, the oblivion. I mean, it was never, I'd say from 94 on, Sonic just never really had that kind of magic anymore. And that's a shame, because I think Sonic is such a awesome mascot, and to this day, I mean, he's an easily recognizable mascot. But when you think of the games, there aren't that many that stand out past, say, 95. You know,
yeah.
I think of Sonic CD. I think of there was one on the Game Boy Advance that was good. I just can't remember which one it was. And
yeah, and the Sonic Adventures game had a lot of potential in the Dreamcast. I enjoyed it. There's a little buggy here and there, but they had potential to really be something good. But they kind of got looked over too.
Right. You know, that's just one of the things. Is like, it's a shame because you're seeing a franchise that was so iconic in the early 90s just kind of fade away. And you know, as a gamer, you're like, oh, come, it doesn't deserve that. You know, you mentioned the Super Mario Brothers. I mean, they're still pretty big. I mean, I would say the Mario Brothers games are bigger than, you know, the Sonic games nowadays.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And you know, I guess that's probably part due to, you know, the Sega's not even in the console market anymore. But I don't know. I just wish they were in the same kind of status as before in the early 90s. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at the past through rose-colored glasses. But, it's one of those things. I want Sonic to be a big deal again.
Yeah, and, you know, they just released another game called Sonic Boom, and it's getting awful, awful reviews.
Right. I mean, there's so many. I'd say for the last close to 10 years, there really haven't been that many good Sonic games. I mean, I can't think of many. There's been a couple that have been okay, but there just hasn't been any really solid ones.
No, nothing anyone's talking about. You know, it's definitely not a pop culture big thing. I mean, there's that niche group out there that really likes Sonic and will follow him no matter what he does.
No matter what,
Yeah, and I every now and then I'll give a game a shot, but it just seems like I keep getting let down.
I want to like new games so badly because I love the Sonic franchise, and I remember when Sonic was a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, but, it's one of those things, man. I'll tell you what, I'm very thankful for, you know, the Sonic franchise, even though it's kind of, you know, weakened over the years, but it's still around. And, you know, I'm thankful that Sonic has not kind of disappeared like, you know, some of the mascots in the 90s.
Yeah, I know.
I'm thankful Sonic's still around. And you know what? I'm thankful for that last episode. It kind of brought back a lot of good memories.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, man.
I'd agree.
So, you want to wrap this up and grab a bite to eat? You know, some turkey, eh?
Yeah, maybe some hot dogs with sauce.
Yeah. Oh, you mean chili dogs, tails?
Chili dogs, yeah.
Your tails.
Yeah, I eat tails. I eat hot dogs for Thanksgiving. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, definitely can't wait to get some of that stuffing.
Oh, yeah, nice.
As we call it.
Yeah, not dressing.
Dressing, stuffing, whatever word
right.
It is. Soggy cooked croutons.
Oh, yeah. Nice. All right, guys. Well, we hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving, and we shall catch you later.
Catch you later.
Peace.
Genesis Jim's bloopers.
Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
That way you can be in sync.
Oh, yeah. Insane. We were pretty brutal on Kelso.
I know, that's a good thing.
It was great. It was great. I was like, oh, this is great. Hey, if you don't care, I'll just run and get a drink and we'll get started.
Alright, nothing too heavy there, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'll be like, I got this bottle of NyQuil.
I'm thankful for this whiskey.
Yeah, it knocks me right out. You're showing the clock too?
I don't see a clock. I just got blank screen.
Oh.
But it's 0.0.
You think you're bearing me?
I am. When I don't have my script, I don't do so well.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah. I'm gone. I'm out.
3, 2, 1, lick. Does this bring you back any memories, man?
An error occurred.
Really? I remember they were like the comic relief of the show.
Yeah, my thing froze again.
Are you serious?
Good grief. Let's try this. I'm gonna restart my browser here. I'm sorry, man. I got too many windows open.
Oh, it's all good.
This is hilarious.
Sounds like a blooper reel.
Dang it, it froze.